Hello, Inspired Intentions listeners. This is Rachel Colasino, SkyTerra's Marketing Director and occasional Inspired Intentions host. On behalf of all of us at SkyTerra, we send you our very best wishes for a happy Thanksgiving. We hope you make great memories this week with all of the people that you love. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Inspired Intentions Podcast with SkyTerra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm joined once again with two of the most intelligent nutrition experts I know, Lindsay Ford and Alyssa
Patillo.
So I was in this zone, Alyssa, where I wasn't sure if we were comfortable using your last name. I just throw Lindsay under the bus because she gets all this email clutter and messages every time she's on the podcast.
Yeah, it's fine.
Cool. So it's going to happen to you now, Alyssa. Pretty cool. Well, welcome back. It's so nice to have you guys again. And we are here to talk about let's cancel diets. And in our first episode, we spoke about intermittent fasting and keto and how those approaches maybe don't lead to long-term success with our relationship with food. Today, are you guys excited about our topic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about why thinking you have to be perfect with your food never works.
Yeah.
Right on.
So, Lindsay, could you tell us about a time in your life where you were trying to be perfect with your food?
Yeah. With the food. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can take it back to when I was about to enter my first year of college and I was about to go play a college sport, soccer, and I internalized this message of I needed to be leaner for my sport. I was already lean. It was fine. There was nothing I needed to change. And I started to cut out fat and I got very, very, very fixated on being perfect within that.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out well for me.
Yeah. And good example. I know if you're just joining us for this episode, Lindsay described just kind of how she got into the nutrition field. And I appreciate you just highlighting that you've been in that perfection mode before.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about for you, Alyssa? Any students that you've worked with or you personally, time in your life where you felt like you had to be perfect with your food?
Yeah, I see it a lot with some of our students, as well as just personally. I have been through, you know, a period in my life where that was the focus for sure.
That was the expectation.
Exactly. And since Lindsay provided a personal example, I'll, you know, shed light on a student. We have had a student in our program that came in and it's just like, you know, all organic, all grass fed, which there are health benefits. But when we get so fixated on something, we can't wrap our hand or our head around, you know, everything else out there that exists.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Everything having to be perfect.
Gotcha. It sounds like you come across many students who fall into these hardcore specifics around what is allowed in their regular kind of eating plan each day.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, well, I think what we wanted to do today is dive into two kind of main types of patterns. And just to be clear, Lindsay is our director of nutrition at SkyTerra Wellness, and Alyssa is our lead dietitian at SkyTerra Embrace. And so both of these individuals, my introduction was not false. They're very intelligent, and they're going to help us break down these two things today. One is called orthorexic vegan eating pattern, and the other is this eating clean. And if you're in the booth with me now, which you're not, I'm doing these little bunny ear quotations, eating clean pattern, which is something I think we hear a lot of people say. So let's maybe start with you, Lindsay. What is this whole orthorexic vegan pattern?
So I think something to clarify would be orthorexia just in general. So orthorexia would be the obsession with healthy eating, and it tends to take over. And so this can really fall into both vegan and the idea of clean eating. But if you look at vegans specifically, it would be no animal products whatsoever, potentially including honey, because it would be coming from a bee, which is considered an animal. So this is where pretty much a heavy reliance on your veggies, fruit, whole grains, beans, nuts, seeds, plant oils, and then soy, maybe some soy products. So those are just some major foods, food groups that I think of. But that's where if you take the orthorexia component in it, if you look at some folks that practice vegan where there is no animal source whatsoever, it might actually start off with, oh, I'm going to cut out meat and then I'm going to cut out chicken. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to cut out. And it just tends to escalate and it becomes more and more restrictive. So the obsession with it just gets more and more intensified.
And I think that's a great way to refine that definition as you describe it, is vegan isn't necessarily a bad approach by any means. There's many vegans out there who like have a really high quality diet. What we're talking about today is when it becomes this like over restriction, this orthorexic type pattern. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, there's a very strong case that people that choose vegan, they can make it work to maintain health. And I would also challenge that, where given our culture and given the desire to maybe be thin, or if you look at, you know, the obsession with health, it can really actually cause more damage and more harm than any sort of benefit that we could potentially get from like a full plant-based diet.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. And I think an obsession with health, and it can fall into many different patterns of eating or many different patterns of exercise even too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great definition there, Lindsay. Thanks for shedding light on this whole concept, this pattern that we see a lot. Alyssa, what's this whole eating clean thing? What's this about? I know you hear people say that.
Yeah, you do hear people say that.
Just eating clean.
So quite honestly, I guess when you ask that, I then pose the question, what is eating clean? Because there's no definition for eating clean. And at this point, there's not. So some people might see that as all organic, non-GMO. You know, there's a lot of different variations, but my main question becomes, if it's not clean, what is it? Because our immediate gut response is, well, then the alternative is dirty.
Gotcha. So it's almost like we're saying good and bad, just
exactly.
in a different way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense with both of these patterns. I can see why people out there can fall into them, because there are these different expectations within society, and we're all looking for, you know, what's that thing that's going to move the needle to where we're thinking we want to go. Yeah. So Lindsay, how does does either of these patterns of eating, these mindsets, sort of get in the way?
So it goes back to that perfectionism, and what happens if that intention to go vegan can't happen, or all of a sudden they're presented with a meal that isn't organic. What happens when you go to the store and they don't have what you're looking for? So there's so many different things that can actually become roadblocks, that then you see the anxiety kick in. You see maybe there's underlying or hasn't been diagnosed OCD. Wow. And then all of a sudden, like, that takes over. So what I notice is a lot of anxiety, where it's
good
like
point.
Oh my gosh, I can't make this happen.
What am I gonna do?
What am I gonna do? And you mix that with, maybe I'm just not gonna eat at all.
Yeah. Wow.
And what happens then?
Right. So it sounds like an orthorexic vegan pattern and some of this eating clean mindset can get in the way of the decisions that you can make in your day. It almost like leads to frustration. And then what you're saying is, one of the biggest things that happens of why this might be a problem is just overload on anxiety, like a lot of almost self-inflicted stress when you think about it.
Well, and yeah, so basically every single meal you're looking at potential increased anxiety of, yeah. well, what am I going to eat? How am I going to make this happen? This is my, you know, I've got to go this direction with my food. And if I don't, I'm, you know, a failure, or I'm going to feel like a failure, or I'm not, you know, I'm harming animals, or I'm,
it sounds like super fun, like yeah. self-talk. Like I would love to like sit Ooh. Down at every meal and think like that. It's super rough. So it's like, man, we're going to have to talk about how do we get out of that pattern of anxiety around food. And it sounds mm-hmm. like this is slightly different than our first episode. For you, Alyssa, what do you think? Like, why does this sort of thinking of we have to eat clean get in the way of students or just in general, anybody who's trying to follow a nutrition program that's sustainable?
I would have to agree with Lindsay. I think most of it is, you know, there are health benefits to eating in a nourishing way that takes care of us, which, yes, much of that could be clean, but labeling it as clean gives us this black and white way of thinking. And if we can't do that, it's like that all or nothing.
Gotcha.
We're either all in eating clean or we're all out not eating clean. And then we've got the anxiety piece that Lindsay spoke about. That's just so important because I tie that into our quality of life and again, back into our community and our relationship, because beyond wellness from a food and nutrition perspective, we've got wellness from so many other elements that are impacted by that anxiety we're experiencing.
Yeah. I love how both of you have spoken to the mental health aspect of how these two types of patterns and thinking just lead to poor mental health and yeah. not being able to like live and show up in the way we want to. And
exactly.
I think that's just super important to recognize that it's not always what we do, it's how we think about what we do that's sometimes more important. So that all or nothing mindset, it is the biggest roadblock. I can see that obviously being a core problem to orthorexic vegan and eating clean. Let's get into the solution, because nobody, as I was joking, wants to show up to a meal and have anxiety around it. I yeah. truly believe nobody wants to feel that way. So Lindsay, what would you kind of recommend to listeners who are maybe falling into this pattern with how they look at food? Where should they start?
Well, I think where to start would be to actually just gain more awareness on, hey, what are my thoughts around food? What's going on with my feelings and my emotions around food? Because what I could see happening is if we're not pausing and even recognizing what those thoughts are, it could just escalate into more and more restriction, or the black and white thinking gets more intense. So I think one of the biggest things is to actually pause and actually start really looking at what are my thoughts. And then maybe it is working with a professional or looking at like, is this even true? Is my thinking yeah. even true? So for example, we could say, well, the only way to, you know, really help the planet and the animals and whatnot is to follow a vegan life, like eat vegan. Well, yeah. what about not wearing leather? What about supporting animal rights? What about
There could be other ways of accomplishing that goal. Is yeah. that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. So, but I think it does take some self-awareness and like, where are my thoughts? How is everything I'm thinking factual and true?
I yeah. love that. Yeah, I think our thoughts around food is a first step that we could all take if we're trying to improve how we're eating and how we want to be eating. Mm-hmm. So that makes a lot of sense with breaking this mindset. How about for you, Lissa? Any tips for listeners, you know, if they're falling into this eating clean scenario, mm-hmm. what would you want them to do maybe as a second step?
So I think my initial response is one, like you guys mentioned, like what's the motive behind it? And how can we incorporate flexibility into eating in a nourishing way to take care of ourselves while also doing things that benefit our planet, like Lindsay just mentioned. And one of the things I like to think about is, you know, instead of going to the grocery store and getting so fixated on these, you know, super expensive products because of the way that they're marketed,
yeah.
why don't we spend our money supporting like our local farmers and
Smart.
Getting good quality, you know, food
just right in our own backyard.
Exactly. Yeah. As opposed to just being so fixated on, you know, these items, these brands, these marketing strategies.
That's a great point, because there's whole aisles and sections devoted to these ways of eating now.
Yeah.
And it's like the subscription-based opportunities online to sign up for these types of products, like, has really gone in a huge overload direction. So that makes a lot of sense. So it sounds like, okay, so start with your thoughts. Second, identify your motivation, like your true motivation behind, here's why I want to eat this way. And this isn't dissimilar from what I teach with the triangle of change. We're just relating it to how we might approach our nutrition, which is super cool to hear you guys talk it out. Any other tips? Is there like one other thing our listeners should do once they start acknowledging their thoughts and then determine their motivation behind why they want to eat clean and why they maybe want to be vegan? What should they do next?
Go for it, Lindsay.
All right. So my thought is just bouncing off of what Alyssa just mentioned, which, if we're going to break it down to the actual food and look at how we do eat, then this is where it's like, okay, if I want to eat more plant-based, or if I want to get ingredients in foods that I feel are helping the environment, or quote, quote, less dirty, whatever that means.
Yeah.
then going local, going regional.
Yeah.
Maybe there's certain things you can plant yourself, grow yourself. Maybe there's some sort of CSA program, which stands for Community Supported Agriculture. Mm-hmm. So getting connected with local farms. So I'd say that no matter, you know, if you're vegan or you're trying to eat clean, these are ways where no matter who you are, it is actually a really sound approach, and it brings you back into the community. And there can be a sense of joy around those different experiences, like going to the market.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Anything else you want to add, Alyssa?
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing I like is that there are health benefits to incorporating more plants into our diet, for sure. And we don't want to discount that. And so instead of, you know, attaching ourselves to this label of vegan, can we just change our perspective so it's more of a plant forward approach, where our goal now changes into incorporating more fruits and veggies into our diet, as opposed to, like, I like to take the approach of what can we add rather than take away. And so instead of saying I'm eliminating all animal products, it's let's change our perspective, and now fruits and veggies, produce, they're our focus, and we're still incorporating, you know, those high quality proteins that we've got that exist out there.
That's great. So what can we add to our weekly kind of routine around fish and nutrition versus like remove? That hits home, I think, for a lot of listeners, because with nutrition, it always feels like, and especially dieting, it's like I have to remove something in order to make this work. I have to, you know, not eat this way. And it does have to be black and white a lot of the time. Where one other thing I just add is, like, I would encourage our listeners to just initially start, like, remember, you don't have to be perfect every day.
Yeah.
Nobody who has a healthy relationship with food is perfect every single day. And so that's just something to keep in mind, that we need to break the all or nothing mentality, understand that true motivation, and then be aware of when those thoughts show up. And then what you both just kind of went into is, let's have some practical strategies around how we can eat more plant forward versus putting a label on it as I'm a vegan, or I'm the type of person who only eats clean, you know?
Right.
So that label piece is important for listeners to recognize. So super cool.
Hey everyone, similar to our last episode with ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting, today we are going to do another role play with combining a vegan and clean eating diet protocol. So I will be playing the registered dietitian, and Alyssa is also here today.
Yeah, and I get to play Sarah. So I'll be, in this case, like the client working with Lindsay.
Yay! Here we go. Good afternoon, Sarah. It's a pleasure to meet you.
You too, Lindsay. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I am excited to work with you and to get this party started.
Man, me too.
So, what brings you in today?
Well, I'm here because this has been, I guess, multiple years in the making of what started like a kind of like a trial of eating healthy, I guess, to improve my athletic performance because I'm a volleyball player. I was trying to go play volleyball in college.
Okay.
But then all my friends and family have been telling me it's getting pretty serious and they have concerns. And so they encouraged me to meet with a dietitian, and that's really why I'm here today.
Okay, so they encourage you to meet with me or a registered dietitian. You mentioned you played volleyball, or you do play volleyball.
Yeah.
Are you still actively playing?
So, yes, I am actively playing. Unfortunately, not at as competitive of a level as I was because my body just really couldn't handle it.
Okay, so are you experiencing like injuries, fatigue? What's been going on?
Yeah, lots of fatigue. So in volleyball, I only played defense, so I wasn't up at the net. And I did a lot of diving, and I would dive on the floor, and I'd get these terrible bruises, and my body would just hurt. And then I started losing a lot of hair. And also, then I noticed like my family was getting frustrated because every time I'd go eat with them, I'd bring my own food, and then they felt like their food wasn't good enough and they weren't good cooks, and it just created a lot of stress within my family, and my family means a lot to me, so I don't love that.
Yeah, that's really hard. So a lot of tension maybe within the family and hearing some concerns. I am curious, why do you think they encourage you to meet with a dietitian?
So I think they encouraged me to meet with a dietitian because they saw how much I loved volleyball growing up. And then they saw just this like dullness of that passion. And they, I believe, saw changes in my body that concerned them, a decrease in my performance that concerned them, more isolation. And then the food piece, just not eating what they eat, no longer really finding that joy and pleasure in being able to eat with other people. So I think, unfortunately, they have a lot of concerns.
Okay. Well, I am thankful that you have support in your corner. It sounds like you've got a family that does have your best interests at heart. I would love to hear a little bit more about what you have been doing with your food, especially once you started to, even before you started to experience some of the fatigue, hair loss. What changes did you start to make to what you were eating?
So it started really slow. At first, I just started, like, I saw stuff about eating clean. So I started just going towards all whole foods, cutting out packaged processed foods. And then eventually that kind of led me down this rabbit hole of like only being able to buy organic, non-GMO. And then that transferred into like, oh my gosh, well, if I do that, then I have to take care of the animals. So then I started cutting out animal products too, and it started with just meat, and then I started cutting out dairy. Right now I'm totally vegan. I don't eat any meat, I don't eat any dairy or eggs or fish, and then I don't do honey either.
Oh wow. Okay, so you've kind of moved and progressed into what I'm hearing more as a vegan, no animal product, no processed food type plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so when you first started this and when you were doing the non-GMO and more whole foods and starting to progress into different priorities within your food, what I am curious how you made this work. So what does it look like on a day-to-day basis on the preparation and the work involved?
It's a lot of work in order to, because I'm in school all day and I'm either in school or I work. So I have to take my lunch with me and my breakfast and my snacks and my dinner. Actually, dinner, most of the time I get to eat at home, but I have to pack that. And at lunch, it's always this big salad. So it's just like, you know, lettuce, cucumbers, your normal salad. And okay, for my protein, I just eat like almonds on the side.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, like, I was told not to do tons of fat. So since I did the almonds, I don't put dressing on my salad or anything. And then I do have to take my breakfast. And in the morning, I normally just eat, like, a big bowl of fruit. And for a snack, I don't know. It just depends. Sometimes I don't need a snack. Sometimes I'm in such a hurry, I forget.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Would you be open to actually hearing a little bit of education around vegan and clean dieting?
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay. So let's go there a little bit, because that might be able to allow your brain to think about different things that you've done in the past that could actually be influencing some of the symptoms that you're actually having today.
Okay.
So with a vegan diet, it usually starts off actually with maybe cutting out red meat. And as time goes on, it turns into no animal sources whatsoever. Given your athletic background and your passion for volleyball, that requires a lot of fuel, and it also requires enough protein, healthy fats, carbohydrates, the nutrients that you need to be able to fuel your body to not only perform, but to also recover from your day-to-day grind. And so what can happen is, not maybe immediately, but as time goes on, you might develop deficiencies.
Mm.
So when we consume animal, let's say, proteins like eggs, dairy sources, poultry, red meat, salmon, the list kind of goes on, we are getting essential amino acids that we need through food that our body doesn't make itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can get some of that through plant sources, which maybe you did some reading on that. The hard part with all the activity that you're doing and all the movement you're doing and the recovery required is that you might not be getting all of the essential amino acids. And then the other nutrients that are then in conjunction with those animal sources. So, for example, you'd be at lower risk of, at higher risk for, let's say, anemia, because mm-hmm. we get greater sources of iron from our animal sources, and it actually absorbs better in our body. And so some degree of fatigue and tiredness could potentially be anemia maybe setting in. Now, I don't know for sure, but we might want to do some blood work to see what's going on so we can get a better idea of what deficiencies might actually be there.
Yeah, I'm definitely open to that.
Okay. So I would definitely encourage that you talk with your family about pursuing some blood work so that you can get some numbers and get some data. It does sound like there's a lot of work and energy that's going into your food preparation. I would love to explore that a little bit further. Would you elaborate a little bit on what you used to do with your food before you started going down this path?
Yeah, so I used to, like, in the mornings, I would eat Greek yogurt and fruit and nuts. Most mornings, but then sometimes, like, I would get in a hurry and then I'd want to go meet friends and we'd have bagels out at, like, a bagel shop. And then for lunch, I would pack my lunch and I would take, like, a sandwich, like a maybe turkey and cheese sandwich with, I don't know, at that point I really liked fruit snacks, so I might pack some fruit snacks. But then I might also throw in some veggies and some hummus, some trail mix, and then I might take an afternoon snack. Sometimes I really, like, I would pack a couple Oreos because I loved Oreos, like, in the afternoon. So I would pack, like, two Oreos and I would add them in with, like, a piece of fruit. And then I would eat dinner with my family.
Okay. So your energy levels and your health, your even the thought around food, what can you recall about that time of your life?
Yeah. So years ago, like, when I was, I guess, kind of had, like, a normal relationship with food, I didn't think about it all the time. But here of late, when I go to the gym, I find myself always picking up, like, a cooking magazine. And if I'm on the elliptical or something, it's like all I can think about is food, and that's all I want to look at, really. And I can't figure out why, because it's so exhausting.
Yeah, it does sound like in the past you had what seemed like a healthier relationship with food, where you allowed a variety of food in, whether that was in really a mix of whole foods, but also foods that are easy and convenient and enjoyable. Now it sounds like it's gone down the realm of so much restriction that it could actually increase food fixation. So I'm not surprised to hear that you're thinking about food more often. And then when you see food, there's a draw to it, whether it's a cooking show, a magazine, even books around food, where all of a sudden your mind and the energy towards food actually just takes over everything.
Yeah, like Pinterest is, I am always on Pinterest looking at food.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I am curious if you would be open to making some subtle changes, not moving too drastic, because you've been going through more of this vegan protocol, and I would hate to push too much at you too soon. But would you be open? That. Would you be open to that?
Yeah, I think so. It sounds scary, but at this point, like seeing the concern my family and friends have, I think I'm ready for some help and something to change.
Okay. Would you be open to maybe one meal out of your day where you allow a little bit more flexibility and spontaneity into it?
What does that mean?
Oh, yeah. So what I mean by that is you bring in maybe a little bit of joy factor. So maybe something that you used to consume that you really enjoyed. Now this could be at dinner with your family. If that feels like too much pressure because they maybe, you know, their eyes are going to be on you. Maybe it's something that you do in your own time. So it could be the Oreos. It could be the fruit snacks. But kind of going back to something subtle.
Yeah. Yeah. The Oreos sound too scary. And dinner. Yeah. No, that's too scary right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me start with, I used to love Greek yogurt in the morning.
Okay.
And I could make like a really fun fruit bowl. And I'm doing fruit now. So I think I could just do yogurt and add the fruit to it.
I think that sounds brilliant. That will also give you some extra protein that maybe your body's been missing. Mm. We could start there and then hopefully make small little changes so that you can start to regain the energy and less fixation over the food.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Okay. Well, I have loved so much working with you, and I hope that we can continue to work together. And next time, I look forward to hearing about how this subtle change in your breakfast is going.
Yeah, Lindsay, I appreciate you so much, and I'm excited to get to work together.
All right, I will see you soon.
Thank you.
Lindsay, how will our listeners' life look different when they start to not feel like they have to eat clean every single day?
I would say their identity is not wrapped up into what they eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going back to who you are is not what you eat.
Yeah.
And so being able to kind of break those two things apart, I think, is actually something that deep down is extremely liberating for a lot of people if they find that they're trying, if the perfectionism starts to kick in.
Love that. Yeah. So they're not attaching their identity with food. And I mean, it's just a different way of maybe showing up. In your day. How about for you, Alyssa? Anything you know that, you know, as our listeners, students, our guests, they start to implement these changes that y'all have suggested, how will their lives look different?
I mean, the biggest one for me is like freedom, the ability to like make our own choices and utilize our time and our mental space in different ways, rather than wasting so much of our mental space and energy on these compulsive thoughts of food. We have the ability to, you know, utilize that in ways that support our life better in the long run.
Love that. It's almost like we can devote our thinking to other things that truly matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
And decrease the anxiety, the anxiousness, and the overthinking around food.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, this has been awesome. I know we've got another installment coming. Installment. It's been so great that Lindsay and I have not fought on air yet. This is awesome. Healthy relationship, healthy food relationship. It's all comes together. Anyways, final thoughts. We want to get into, okay, we've got some practical approaches here. We've got, you know, these types of patterns that do show up. And I know a lot of listeners have probably resonated. Lindsay, what do you want everyone to remember specific to this type of eating pattern today?
Ooh, I would say if there was one thing to remember, it would be to gain more awareness of their thoughts and the motivation around what food decisions they're making.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Cool.
And just explore that.
I like that.
Get the awareness. Go back to those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Heard. Mm-hmm. How about for you, Alyssa? Any final closing thoughts?
I guess my final closing thoughts are that I just want to touch back on the what can we add in rather than take away, because I think our society just promotes so much like removal. And I think that there's so much benefit to adding in and changing our focus from removal to, you know, incorporating more fruits and veggies, because they do so much for the body that we have. And that's all I got.
Well said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both. Your perspective is truly inspiring. We wouldn't let you on the Inspired Intentions podcast if it wasn't. And I'm really looking forward to the last episode. It's one that I can relate a lot to. You both have had personal experiences. And I think everybody out there has experiences around food that even if they haven't identified them, they might be able to pick that apart through listening to these series and making sure that they do have that freedom around it and it isn't like this overwhelming thing every week. So very excited to hit that last part. I know you guys have some fun additions to this podcast series, so that's going to be super cool. So listeners, watch out for that. And thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks, Alyssa.
The Inspire Intentions podcast has been a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill, who loves to make comments and hand gestures throughout every single Inspired Intentions episode. Please send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, especially those who might be struggling with their relationship with food, please share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness, and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into already busy life. Thanks for listening.